Reading this evening from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text number 17.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tad Bodhayas Tadatmanas.
Tanishtastat Parayanah.
Gachancha Punar Avritim.
Jnana Nirdhota Kalmasha.
Translation: when one's intelligence, mind, faith, and refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of liberation. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Transcendental Truth, that's all capitalized. Supreme is capitalized, Transcendental is capitalized, Truth is capitalized, is Lord Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita centers around the declaration that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the version of all Vedic literature. Para-tattva means the supreme reality, again capitalized. Para-tattva, the supreme reality. Who is understood by the knowers of the supreme as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the last word of the Absolute. There's nothing more than that. The Lord says, Matak parataram nanyat kin chedasti tananjaya. Impersonal Brahman is also supported by Krishna. Brahmanohi pratishaham. Therefore, in all ways, Krishna is the Supreme Reality. One whose mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are always in Krishna. Or in other words, or fully in Krishna consciousness, is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and is in perfect knowledge of everything concerning transcendence. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand. This is an unusual final sentence. A Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality, parentheses, simultaneous identity and individuality, close parentheses, in Krishna. There is duality in Krishna, but a different kind of duality than dualism. In fact, there's plurality in Krishna, not just duality. There's diversity within Krishna. And equipped with such transcendental knowledge, one can make steady progress in the path of liberation. Prabhupada presents his Bhaktivedanta purports in such a way, it's Krishna and Krishna and Krishna. Doesn't matter what the topic is, it's Krishna and Krishna and Krishna. And he's right. There's a devotee who lives in New York, whose name is Satyaraj. You may know of him as Stephen Rosen. He's written a number of books on vegetarianism and the reincarnation controversy, and maybe those books aren't distributed over here. No? Yes, yes or no? Yes, okay. So, he's, maybe you didn't know this about him, but he's a high school dropout. Maybe you didn't know this about Jayadwaita Swami, he's also a high school dropout. Because he saw it was useless going to high school. You're not learning anything, you're becoming more ignorant. But Prabhupada recognized Jayadwaita Swami's intelligence, and he trained him in editing and entrusted him with editing his own writings. And Satyaraj, maybe he's a college dropout. Maybe he completed high school and didn't finish college. But in any case, he's been dedicated to writing about Krishna consciousness, particularly Krishna consciousness amongst scholars. So, for example, through Oxford University, under their label, Oxford University, one who has not completed college, is the editor for a journal that is published under the name of Oxford University. On Vaishnavism, Journal of Vaishnava Studies is the title of the quarterly periodical. He's been so accomplished in this field that he was requested by a textbook publisher to write, to be the editor for a textbook on Hinduism. He who doesn't have a college degree is writing a textbook on Hinduism, and he's Jewish, Stephen Rosen, who doesn't have a college degree. It's by his bhakti that he's been able to progress so far. So one of the things that he does, he hobnobs, hangs out with scholars, particularly professors of religion. So every year in America, there's an Academy of Religion conference. It's scholars, not only in America, but from all over the world, that are scholars in religion. They come and they hang out. They pat each other on the back, and behind each other, they criticize one another. They make papers on different topics, and they present their papers at this Academy of Religion conference. So he goes there and sells some of his books, and So he shared this with me, that there are two men in the world that are particularly renowned. Their thing is making critique of Bhagavad Gita publications. They're the foremost authorities. And they're older, so when they first got going, Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita is one of the Bhagavad Gitas that they critiqued. And, these are scholars. So what do they say about Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita? His Sanskrit scholarship, different bad things. Because that's what scholars are supposed to do, right? So they did that. They did that for years. They're, polite but to the devotees, but, academically. And this was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, but both of them separately approached Satyaraj. He didn't approach them. And they said, both of them said the same thing separately. after all of these years in critiquing so many Bhagavad Gitas, I have come to the conclusion that your Swamiji's Bhagavad Gita is the best. Not because, you know, of his the high Sanskrit or something, but because he presents the essence. And whether it's in chapter 1 or chapter 5 or chapter 18, every single verse he's presenting the essence. So previously we were looking at, you know, there's this word, as Swamiji translates it as that, and then his purport is Krishna. And then he takes that word and he translates it that way, and it's Krishna. Now, that's not scholarly. But that's not the approach that Swamiji took. He was just presenting the essence. And he was presenting the essence to a Western audience that needs to hear essences again and again before they can receive essences. Your Swamiji has done that with every verse. It's the essence. And then the other one said the same thing in his own language. Satyaraj was astonished. And because Satyaraj has been saying that to them all along. This, because Bhagavad Gita as it is, because it's not by speculative method, taking this word and deriving that meaning. Krishna says this, but he really means that. When Krishna says surrender unto him, it's not surrender unto him. It's a surrender unto something else. When Krishna says think of me, it's not think of Krishna, it's think of something else. They do that. You can read their commentaries, they do that. But Prabhupada has just taken the essence. So, this text 17 of chapter 5, this is the beginning of a section within chapter 5 where the topic of action, it's karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness, as Prabhupada has translated it, or literally in Sanskrit, it's karma palatyag. You take the actions and there's fruits of those actions and you dedicate the fruits of those actions unto the Supreme. So this is liberation section. How do you keep your consciousness upon the Supreme while you're doing action? In practical terms, you go to the office, sit down in your workstation, and you're working. Or you go to school, you sit down at your desk, and you're doing your work. How do you stay fixed in Krishna consciousness when you're doing practical work, practical activity? Or ladies, your whatever your duties may be, you're taking care of the children and the family. Or the husband's in the office and dealing with domestic responsibility. How do you remain Krishna conscious? It's a common apparent dilemma. It's not really a dilemma because Krishna is everywhere. Krishna is not only in the puja room or in your bead bag. But Krishna's everywhere. If one has a certain nature, then according to that nature, they have some work born of their nature. And their nature, the sva-dharma, their prescribed duty, has not only the modes of nature that are driving it, but there's this eternal nature, the nature of being Krishna's servant. And how do you fix your consciousness upon being Krishna's servant while you're serving Krishna? That's the this section is dealing with bringing attention to Paramatma. It's unto him that one is making the sacrifice. Within this particular section, it's described that way. That's Baladev Vidyabhusan's commentary. Prabhupada's commentary is it's Bhagavan. Just look. Bhanuswami has made the translation of the commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhusan and Bhagavad Gita. There, his, Baladev's commentary, which Srila Prabhupada principally follows, as the dedication page indicates, it's dedicated to Baladev Vidyabhusan. Baladev Vidyabhusan, it has a different audience. He had people that were more elevated. Prabhupada was speaking to the uneducated mass of the world, where people don't know, they're not educated. They're not at all refined. They don't know Sanskrit. So in simple English, he presented the absolute truth is in these different features, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, and ultimately Bhagavan is the shelter of the others. That's Prabhupada's emphasis. Krishna. Because Krishna is the shelter of Brahman, Brahmanohi Pratishta Aham, from the concluding message of chapter 14. In chapter 14, there's this discussion about modes of nature. And elaborate explanation of how the modes of nature are acting. And then Krishna concludes that section saying that there isn't a living entity that's free from the modes of nature. Everyone is being moved by the modes of nature. However, there are some that are liberated. And Arjuna immediately jumps on that one and says, oh, those that are liberated, what are their symptoms? And most importantly, how are they to be known? And most importantly, how do they attain that? Do they attain that position by taking shelter of, like what this verse is saying, taking shelter of the Supreme? And that they take, when you take shelter of Brahman, you take shelter of the Supreme. But Krishna is the basis of Brahman. He's the Pratishta. Are you with me? Go beyond the modes of nature by being situated in Brahman, and Krishna is the basis of Brahman. Take shelter of Krishna. To go beyond the modes of nature. So, what Prabhupada would do with that is, at every step, Krishna, 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 Krishna. And that's what he's done here. In Baladev's commentary, it's Paramatma. But the Paramatma feature, this is an expansion of Krishna. So just take shelter of Krishna. Like the next verse, text 18, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna about this person who has gacchanti apunar avritim. He's gacchanti apunar avritim. He's attained the position of liberation. The liberated soul sees equally, text 18, is he's seeing equally all living beings. Whether it's the learned brahmana, or the cow, or the dog eater, or the elephant, he sees them with equal vision. Samadarshana. So, the liberated soul The liberated soul, I'll say it very simply first. The liberated soul takes on the qualities of Krishna because of absorption in Krishna. Those with whom you associate, you take on the qualities of those with whom you associate. And the liberated soul is fixed upon the super soul. So the super soul, because the super soul is situated within the heart of all living beings, the dog eater, the elephant, the brahmana, the outcast. Because super soul is situated within, super soul has this quality of being equal to all beings, then the person who is fixed upon Paramatma, he becomes equal to all beings. He becomes liberated, because super soul is liberated. So the meditation is going not only to the presence of Paramatma, but if supposing one cannot see Paramatma, the presence of Paramatma, the knowledge that Paramatma is equal. Like Prabhupada gives the example of a judge. A judge may pass a sentence on one person, you're rewarded so much money. Another one, you go to jail. Another one, you're put to death. Another one, you have to pay money. Next. And it's not like, oh, I like you, I don't like you. I'm partial to you, and I have some bad feeling towards the other guy. He's neutral. Qualified high court judge is neutral. Just according to the law, he hears the evidence and he passes the sentence. He doesn't dislike this one and like that one. It's neutral. So super soul is like that. It's neutral. Super soul is na me dveshosti na priyaha. He's not feeling dvesha towards this one and priya towards that one. It's equal in disposition. And that's the super soul. Now, let's go along in a scenario of life, and something that's happening kind of okay, and then all of a sudden the bottom falls out. And all kinds of terrible things start to happen. Chuckling that there's little, they have a quote for the day in New York Times, and the quote for the day for today in New York Times is a prize ballet dancer ate a hamburger. When she ate a hamburger, a certain kind of virulent disease, E. coli bacteria, paralyzed the super ballet dancer. And so she's quoted, the quote for the day is, why me? And why a hamburger? this is injustice. I'm a ballerina and all I did was eat a hamburger. And it happened to be a hamburger that had this virulent E. coli bacteria. Now I'm paralyzed. Why me? So a person that chapter 5 Bhagavad Gita is speaking about would never consider like that. And a practicing devotee should never, besides we shouldn't eat hamburgers, we shouldn't, if there's a reversal that comes from material nature, who is in charge of material nature? Super soul. Maya dyakshena prakriti. Suyate sacharacharam. Maya dyakshena prakriti. Because prakriti is under Krishna's adyaksha, his supervision. He's overseeing prakriti. And if prakriti moves this way or if Prakriti moves that way, it's because Krishna said, okay, Prakriti, you can move this way, or you can move that way. Because without Krishna's sanction, nothing happens. So, recognizing Krishna as equal, Krishna is not only equal, he's just. This is the very language of Baladeva Vidyabhusan. Krishna's just. Things don't happen whimsically. Why the ballerina is getting paralyzed, which she shouldn't be eating hamburgers. Not just the E. coli bacteria ones, but you shouldn't be eating hamburgers. And lots of, you know, nobody should be either. But there are so many things that we shouldn't be doing that we're doing. And because we're in ignorance, doesn't mean the laws of nature aren't going to act because we're in ignorance of those laws of nature. The simple example Prabhupada gives is fire. Here's a small child. And there's fire. And the small child touches fire. Small child gets burned because fire burns. The fire doesn't consider, oh, he's just a small child. No, I won't burn him. Fire burns. Whether you're a small child or a big child. Fire burns. The laws of nature act. And if the laws of nature are acting, one should understand, due to my past involvement, I may not remember what that past involvement is, but some past involvement in the affairs of the material energy, I'm now experiencing this kind of reaction. It may be favorable, it may be unfavorable, but the devotee doesn't look upon it as favorable, unfavorable. They look upon it as neutral. And Krishna is being just. Because it's not that this circumstance creates devotional service and that circumstance prevents devotional service. I'll give an example of that. There's one man that's beginning practice Krishna consciousness, and he wrote to me some prayers that he's saying and on a daily basis and asked for me to critique his prayers. In short, I said, you know, you should, it's very clear from the prayers that you've created, you should be reciting prayers of liberated souls. Because your prayers are based upon I want and I want and I want. And if that's the consciousness that you're carrying as you're approaching Krishna, then your bhakti isn't going to blossom in the same way as if you approach Krishna simply to offer him some service. This is about, the section is about liberation and how we view work, karma yoga, action in Krishna consciousness. How do we review work from the liberated position? It's our consciousness needs to be upon the Supreme. And then when we work with our consciousness fixed upon the Supreme, Prabhupada takes that right into, that's devotional service from Krishna consciousness, recognizing Krishna and offering everything to Krishna. So then he goes to the list. Tad buddhaya. Baladeva takes it in sequence. First, intelligence. When the intelligence is properly fixed, the mind can then be directed. Tadatmanas. And then next, one's faith. Tadnishtas becomes fixed. Then one's refuge, one's everything, one's all in all. Tatparayana. That person becomes liberated. Gacchanti apunar avidhim. Because he becomes purified by that process. Jnana nirduta kalmasha. Kalmasha, it means dirty things, or here he's translated as misgivings. What does misgivings mean? It's something like a doubt or a hesitation. Later, Krishna is going to describe how important is the role of faith, and the role of faith is without faith you can't progress. Or he says to Krishna, but to Arjuna, the doubting persons, those that do not have faith in my words, they'll never achieve success. And there are lots of people that don't even know Krishna's words, what to speak of, have faith in Krishna's words. But to progress on the spiritual path, this jnana nirdhuta kalmasha, one needs the cleansing that is accomplished by fixing one's mind upon that quality of super soul who is within, who is just. That whatever happens in my life, it's just, it's not unjust. Or put it in simple language, we can say yes to Krishna with everything that happens. I'll turn it around just the opposite way. We had a retreat in our farm in Pennsylvania one time, a very memorable one, where the theme of it was say yes to Krishna. In fact, everybody that came got a say yes to Krishna button. And one of the exercises to help us understand how to say yes to Krishna is one of the devotees had one of those flip charts. You write in a big sheet of paper and then another page and another page. So the devotees that were attending were asked to say, express something that is happening in real time in your life today that you don't like. Something at home, something at work, something. So it started off kind of slow, but once it got rolling, there were like 8 pages of, stuff people don't like. And everyone was laughing and laughing because they also don't like all those things. But it was, okay, we got enough to work with for now. 8 full pages of stuff we don't like. Then the exercise was to take one of the hard ones, and instead of saying, I don't like it, turn it into a say yes to Krishna statement. And there's all kinds of things that were very real in people's family lives. This between the husband and wife, or between the kids and the parents. And it wasn't even just parents toward the kids. It was sometimes the kids toward the parents. And they don't like. And then how to see those things where if you look to Super Soul, you can say yes to Super Soul. They did some role play. They had, husband and wife sit down and, have an argument. Role play. Something comes up, based upon the topic. I don't like it when I come home from work and, that the house is a mess. I don't like it. I wish the house wasn't a mess. And the wife saying, I don't like when my husband comes home from work and has no sense of what I've been doing all day long to try to keep things together. What a difficult task it is, and no appreciation for what I'm doing. I don't like it. So how to turn those situations into, at least in our regard towards the absolute, to see the absolute first, and then upon seeing the absolute first, to be able to address ourselves to a situation that may need some attention, but we can give attention to that situation in a mood of service to Krishna rather than the mood of controllers and enjoyers of situations that don't match our plan for how they should be controlled. practical, very practical. And then, you know, that went on for hours of devotees learning. If you're tuned in to the Krishna channel and Krishna's directing things to happen in a certain way, there's an opportunity in every situation of life how we can serve Krishna favorably, whatever the situation may be. And if we have an opportunity to serve Krishna, that's the position of happiness. It's not that, you know, I'm happy in a mood of service unto Krishna, provided Krishna makes the service situation like this. And if Krishna doesn't fulfill my wish list, I'm on strike. Like Indian Airlines. I'll fly your plane as long as you... One of the reasons for getting here so late the other evening when I came to Hyderabad was just the day before, the Indian Airlines was on strike. Everything was upside down. Everything was crazy. So, service to Krishna is not based upon condition. Service to Krishna is not created by a condition. Service to Krishna isn't checked by any condition. If one is Krishna conscious. If one isn't Krishna conscious, depending upon condition, I can serve. And if condition isn't there, I'm on strike. Or I'll wait till the condition comes, then I'll start my service. We wouldn't have this temple, for example. We wouldn't have the Hyderabad temple. We wouldn't have any of our temples if that was the base that Prabhupada was waiting for Krishna to provide the condition, then he could do his devotional service. We wouldn't have a Hare Krishna movement. We wouldn't have ISKCON. We wouldn't be sitting where we're sitting. We wouldn't have that property next door if it was just wait till the condition happens. It didn't happen like that. There's some service. There was some obstacle, and some capacity from Krishna was given to see beyond the obstacle and see Krishna's service. And here's this way to serve Krishna, here's that way to serve Krishna, and continue to serve Krishna, appropriate for the circumstance. Then one can be fixed, regardless of circumstance. Nothing that can create it, nothing that can check it. And be in a liberated position all the while. Because that's what this section is. It's remaining in the liberated position, in the fixed in transcendence position, while doing practical activities of life. It's an art. You say it's the art of work, or the art of living, in transcendence. Not by stopping your work, not by pre-setting and controlling the circumstances of work, but being completely dedicated unto Krishna's service and working in that consciousness, working in Krishna consciousness. So, Prabhupada writes in his purport, the Lord says, Matak parataran nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. So any other truth, like, you know, here's a truth. We're right now sitting in a nice conference hall. We call it the Sangskara. Nice, you know, but those that were here before, what was this place before? It was this nice Sangskara hall. It looked like, you know, an accident or something. Every time I used to walk by and look, I wonder, what's that? It used to be a parking lot or something for people who would come down and put their cars. And so now instead it's a night. Look at this. not an accident at all. It's very nice. In service to Krishna, place. Very nice. But that reality in devotion to Krishna is based upon Krishna and service unto Krishna. If we see service unto Krishna opportunity and work in that way, then that which is a disaster becomes a nice facility for Krishna service. For example, one whose mind, intelligence, faith, and refuge are always in Krishna, or in other words, who is fully Krishna conscious, is undoubtedly washed clean of all misgivings and is in perfect knowledge of everything concerning transcendence. Krishna supplies that knowledge. In this final sentence, a Krishna conscious person can thoroughly understand that there is duality in Krishna. Simultaneous identity and individuality. Because from the monist conception, you can't have individuality. Because as soon as you have individuality, you have two. And you can't have two because all there is one. So you can't have duality. You can't have individuality. But Krishna is an individual. He's the supreme individual. And all other beings in the spiritual realm with Krishna are also individuals. So in Krishna and in Krishna's abode, there's individuality and there's personality. And there's diverse personality. There's diversity in the spiritual realm. All of the Advaya Tattva, of the absolute nature. And it's okay. Not only okay, it's not nice without it. It's less attractive without it. I mean, Krishna is all attractive. So there's personality, there's individuality, there's love. In impersonalism, you can't have love either. Because love means two. Lover and beloved. In fact, three. The relationship of love. You can't have that. Because all there is one. So love goes out too. No individuality, no personality, no form, no love, no qualities. Brahman. And Krishna is the basis of Brahman. Krishna is where there is plurality, there is diversity in that spiritual realm. And the devotee, what Prabhupada is writing here, is the devotee understands that perfectly well, and thus they become fully purified in that relationship of loving service unto Krishna. It's the entry into that position of loving service unto Krishna, regardless of the circumstance. Regardless of what's going on outside, regardless of duality, that absolute position is their place of shelter. And having that place of shelter in an absolute dimension, in a spiritual dimension, one can engage in varieties of work. And everything is being offered unto the Supreme. And one doesn't become pushed or pulled or moved or dislocated. Because they've taken shelter in Krishna. That's how to engage in work or activity in Krishna consciousness, with that detachment from the duality due to attachment to the Supreme, where there is one's refuge, one's intelligence, one's mind, one's everything, is finding shelter in Krishna. Any comments or questions? Bhagavad Gita is very deep and it's very practical. the difficulty, the Prabhupada explained like this, that Krishna consciousness is very simple. Application is difficult. Krishna consciousness is very simple. But the application is where it's difficult. We have our other idea of what we want, what's important to us. Okay, questions?
Maharaj, due to modern education and due to the ideas that imparts, in India, most of the educated people, when they hear about the pastimes of Krishna or Supreme Personality of Godhead, they consider it as a mythic, as a kind of myth.
As a kind of?
Myth.
Myth, mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah, mythology is mythology. That it is mythology is mythology.
So, even after coming to Krishna consciousness, sometimes I feel little bit...
The mind goes there and says, oh, this is mythology.
Yeah. It's hard to accept the... especially the kind of pastimes you said yesterday, killing the putana demon. Can you please... How can we come out of this?
Keep hearing. Those things that you can relate well with, apply those things. Because it will be purifying. And as one becomes purified, then there's other things that were a little further away, but they also become now, you know, approachable, and then you do those things. But with faith, even I may not understand X, Y, Z something, with faith in the things that I have contact with that are uplifting and purifying, I can at least not dismiss mythology, the other things. But accept that it's purifying. It's not something, the pastimes of Krishna are not something that are meant to be figured out. You know, Sankhya is a little bit something more that you can get your intelligence, try to get your intelligence wrapped around and get a hold of. But Krishna's pastimes are not like that. They're simply purifying. Krishna's exhibiting his transcendental potencies in various ways of loving exchange. That's what's going on with Krishna's pastimes. And there are other lessons embedded, but there may not be so apparent. But at least, you know, it's purifying. Maybe, you know, avoid hearing Krishna's pastimes. Just read Bhagavad Gita. You know, but with such a mentality, one may think even that's, you know, mythology. If you buy into that program enough, some of the commentators in Bhagavad Gita, that's their position. There was no Krishna. There was no battlefield. There was no Arjuna. It's a story to help teach simple-minded people certain lessons. Want to get a shock?
Yeah.
One of those commentators was Gandhi. Gandhi said, there was no Kurukshetra battle. There was no Krishna and Arjuna. And if my being a Hindu is dependent upon my accepting that there was a Krishna, there was an Arjuna, and Krishna induced Arjuna to fight in that battle, I give up my Hinduism. He writes that in his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Mahatma Gandhi. So if we have, you know, such heroes as Mahatma Gandhi saying like that, then, you know, what about a poor guy like me? And I just like, when I hear Krishna's pastimes, my head starts to spin.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I came here a few months back, Prabhu.
Okay.
I was completely convinced and I feel fortunate to be here now.
Okay.
But I am completely surprised that only few percentage of the total population is following ISKCON and they want Krishna, Prabhu.
Shouldn't be surprised.
For example, in my college, I am the only person out of 2,000 students, Prabhu.
Okay. But what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschid mamiti tatvataha. So you shouldn't be surprised.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji is so compassionate that he wants to deliver without discrimination. Probably.
Yeah.
My doubt is it the people's mistake not to take Krishna, or is it our mistake not to give Krishna to them? That's my doubt. Probably.
Okay. Let's take your specific example. You had 2,000 students in your graduating batch, right? So go to those 2,000 students, invite them to come to the Bhagavad Gita class. What's the answer going to be? You're right. Does that answer your question? We should still ask them. We should create the opportunity, as part of our service, to go out of our way to create situations where people can experience the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Bhagavad Gita. And for the most part, people are going to give that answer. Or maybe they won't be so polite. Maybe they'll say something else. But, you know, it's the nature of the kingdom of Maya is people are in Maya. So there's a rebellious attitude towards Krishna. Otherwise, we wouldn't take birth in this material world. We can fix that one problem. We go back to Godhead. But the people that are in this material world have an attitude toward Krishna problem. It's just like, you know, people in prison, they don't like the laws of the state. They want to make their own laws and follow their own laws. And if that's a violation of the state and the state captures them, they put them in prison. So you go into the prison house and ask people, do you like the laws of the state? No. I like my own laws. That's why they're in prison. That's the nature of this world. So out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And of those who have achieved perfection, out of many, many thousands of those, maybe one knows me in truth. So, you know, percentage-wise, don't be surprised. Feel yourself fortunate. Somehow out of all those, somehow I said yes. And I didn't just blindly close my eyes and jump and say yes. I looked at this very carefully and it's a yes. So if we can help others take, you know, a different look than their look at it that says no. Find out what's behind the no. And you'll find there's an attitude towards Krishna problem. Then you can address, you know, why do you have that feeling toward Krishna? I gave this example of these Chinese students. They had never heard Krishna's name before. Because in China, there isn't even a word for, in Chinese language, there's not even one word for God. There's not even a, words are symbols. They don't even have the concept, so they don't have a word. That's how far out things are in China. How many words in Sanskrit are there for God? Thousands and thousands, isn't it? There's certainly a concept. And so there's thousands and thousands of names for God. In China, there's not even one. They had a big difficulty translating Bhagavad, you know, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. So, if someone has a different regard for Krishna than you have, don't be surprised. It's the material world. The attitude, the regard for Krishna is generally no. Rebellion. Mentioned that earlier today. Icha dvesha samutena dvandava mohena bharata. All living entities take birth in this world due to becoming overwhelmed, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. Dvesha toward Krishna. Prabhupada explains it like this. They see Krishna is the center of everything. And while it's very nice, Krishna is the center of everything, but how come I can't be the center of everything? I want to be the center of everything. But there's a problem in my being the center of everything, and that somebody else is already the center of everything. So it's raga and dvesha. The king is sitting on a big throne. I want to sit on the big throne. But there's an obstacle. The king's sitting on the big throne. So you have to dethrone the king so I can sit on the throne. Same thing. That's the material world. But don't be surprised. It's the nature of the material world.
Prabhu, there may be some who will take Krishna if you give to them. For example, in my case, if I were known ISKCON Puyak, I would have taken it seriously.
Okay. So in that case, it's our laziness. Because a few years back, or years back and years back, you know, we could have somehow reached out and contacted you. So it's our laziness. But there has to be also some qualification to deliver Krishna. Fortunately, Prabhupada has provided transcendental literature, so that even I may be an unqualified person, and if I hand you the Bhagavad Gita as it is, you've got the real deal. So that's one way that all of us can assist giving Krishna consciousness to others through book distribution. But what's important for you at this point is to cultivate your own Krishna consciousness. So that when you do meet a person like yourself who would take Krishna consciousness if they had the opportunity, when you meet them, you show by example. This is what the teachings of Bhagavad Gita are like. If it's the other thing, if it's, this is nice teachings, don't do as I say, or don't do as I do, do as I say. What's that? In this world, people don't like that. Duplicity. I say this and I do that. People don't like that, isn't it? You should be always truthful, but I'm busy lying. You should be very clean, but I'm always unclean. You should be very compassionate, and I'm very miserly. People don't like that. But we should be what the teachings say. That's our project. Someone else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna.
What is the difference between having sentiment and having love towards Krishna and spiritual personalities?
What's the difference?
Between having sentiment and having love.
Having sentiment and having love.
Towards Krishna and spiritual personalities.
Well, sentiment minus service is sentiment. Sentiment plus service is love. You don't like that one, huh? With love, there's also sentiment. Sentiment means feeling, right? But supposing I just have a sentiment, but I don't combine or join that sentiment with some practical activity, expression of that sentiment of love through service. So at least, you know, the English words are quite inadequate. Better if we say bhakti. Bhakti means practical activity. There's some feeling connected with the practical activity, but it's not just a feeling. Practical activity. It's like when Krishna describes devotional service of making an offering to him of a leaf and fruit and flower and water. Patram pushpam palam poyam yome bhaktya prayachati. So if you, with feeling, you offer something to Krishna. And it's not just sentiment, it's on the platform of bhakti. Okay?
Thank you. At first I didn't understand it. Not that I didn't understand what you said at first.
You did understand.
No, I understand.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much.
Someone else? It's right in front of you. Right here. Okay. Next.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, in our neophyte stage, when we are trying to serve Krishna, and when we are not relishing the higher taste, we don't feel the higher happiness of devotional service.
In a neophyte stage, when we don't yet have a higher taste,
There is difficulty letting go of our attachments.
Yeah. What to do, huh?
It feels like everything will be lost because that is what we have.
Yeah. So, incrementalism is the answer. You know what I mean by that? A little step at a time. If we try to, beyond our capacity, make a step toward Krishna, when we don't have sufficient confidence in Krishna or faith in Krishna, we'll retract very quickly. A quantum leap forward will often mean a quantum leap backward, because you can't sustain or maintain. So if you have some faith, based upon that some faith, like this discussion over here about, you know, topics about Krishna, I'm not so sure about those topics about Krishna because I know I'm influenced by, you know, this talk of mythology, and when I hear topics about Krishna, I go, oh, mythology. So those areas that I feel confidence in, trust, let me work in that area and make my steps toward Krishna there. A phrase that I have grown to appreciate is, you work a position of strength. Find for yourself, what are those things that Krishna enters into my life? Whatever that is, do that. And as you do that, you'll get strength. And from that position of strength, then you can go, you know, out in those border areas. Little. According to things that make the most sense to you. Although, you know, as you said, neophyte, I don't have great taste. So, but you know, little incremental steps from that position of strength. And your strength will grow that way. It's like, you know, like gardening. take a little plant that's starting to grow, and we don't expect it's going to run away, become, you know, have flowers and fruits and the whole thing. Little by little, cultivate your creeper of bhakti in that way. And in the course of time, it will become strong and mature. Okay. We have a question up front. You wait for the microphone.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, you said that we should pray following the prayers of liberated souls.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes. Maharaj, but sometimes we try to pray based on the teachings of liberated souls.
That's nice.
Shall we have such type of prayers?
Yes.
Or we should check with our superiors that prayers before praying to Krishna?
You can do both.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Lord.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. In afternoon class, you have said that while chanting, we should chant in the mood of Krishna, please accept me. That means there is a mood of dependence.
Yes.
Complete dependence.
Yes.
So, my experience is when we depend on Krishna more, complete dependency, then our chanting is very nice. So, the experience that comes from by chanting like that, we feel to do more and more by depending on Krishna. But that mood of dependency is not strong all the time. I'm unable
to
maintain.
That's right. So what to do? Over a period of time, let that receiving mode or depending mode mature. So then it becomes all the time. By practicing something on a regular basis, here's Prabhupada's phrase, by practice, things become second nature. So we can say, my nature is, like many persons have said, for a while, maybe for an hour, someone was saying, or for, you know, some period of time, okay, and then, So, but by practice, instead of having that intermittent thing happening, it becomes steady. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. By constant practice, it becomes second nature. That the other nature, the forgetful nature, is displaced by what is our true nature. Always in remembrance of Krishna. Always feeling ourselves dependent upon Krishna. How about on the ladies' side? Hey, there's some question back there.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one can transcend the three modes of material nature by surrendering unto Him.
Yes, He does.
So, how does an impersonalist who merges with the impersonal effulgence, how does he transcend without surrendering?
It's temporary. Aruya Krishna Param Padam Tadapatantyadho. Patandhyadho. They go down again. Manoratena sati dhavato bahi. They have, in their mind, have thought of themselves as liberated, but having not taken shelter in the personality of Godhead, patandhyadho, they fall again. We'll make a distinction also between two things. Make a distinction between a Brahmavadi and a Mayavadi. You know these two terms? We often speak of Mayavadis. Mayavadis are those that, literally it means those that say that the form of Krishna is Maya. That's offensive. The form of Krishna is not Maya. The form of Krishna is fully spiritual. But they think like that. And so such persons don't achieve transcendence. They think of themselves, they like to think of themselves in that way, but they have not achieved transcendence. But there are Brahmavadis. Examples of the Brahmavadis are the four Kumaras. Before they came to the gates of Vaikuntha, they were direct sons of Brahma, fixed in knowledge. Gyan, Shakti of the Lord was invested within them, and they were in a state of neutrality. They were not attracted to material enjoyment or material anything. But when the Brahmavadi comes in contact with Krishna, as the Kumaras, just smelling the fragrance of the tulsi buds and sandalwood anointing the lotus feet of Lord Narayan, they became attracted. Although they're not attracted to anything material, they became attracted to that which is spiritual. They became devotees. So, liberated, for those who are absorbed in the Brahman conception, is the state of neutrality. Neutrality in the sense of not being attracted or repulsed by material enjoyment or facilities of material enjoyment. So one may try by restraint, by knowledge and renunciation, gyan and vairagya, to become situated in neutrality. And one can rise up to the position of the Brahman realm. What Krishna describes in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is that's very difficult. Very difficult for those who are embodied to fix the mind upon that which has no qualities, that which has no form, is beginningless, immutable. Even to begin to think of that, what to speak of, be situated there, fixed, very difficult. Ultimately, such persons, another verse in Bhagavad Gita, after many, many births and deaths, those who are following that path, bahunam janmanam ante, jnanavan mam prapadyate, when they come to the conclusion that Vasudev Sarvamiti, Krishna is everything, I should take shelter of Krishna. But ultimately then comes to that taking shelter of Krishna as they're approaching this Brahman conception of neutrality. Otherwise, one can go very high to this state of neutrality within, just like within, Prabhupada gives the example of a spaceship. So you can send a rocket ship, overcome the gravity of Earth, and there it goes, zoom, zoom, off into space and floating around space. So it's off in space without taking shelter somewhere. Eventually it has to come back. That's patantyato. But one can go up into this Brahman realm of the state of neutrality, but without taking shelter, one has to come back. Because that Brahman realm exists, that position of neutrality exists. So one may aspire for that. But to achieve, to stay in that position, one has to take shelter. And the shelter is a person. And in his abode, in a place, with his associates, who are engaged in loving dealings. So, out of aversion to this, the suffering of this realm of illusion, one may aspire for that realm of Brahman. And there's, in one sense, it's taking shelter, at least taking shelter in the mood of neutrality. But it's incomplete. And therefore one comes back. Unless one is very fortunate and takes shelter of the personality of Godhead. Very thoughtful question, thank you. Anything else on the ladies' side, or we're okay? Okay, back over on this side.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, like, you were like, my question is on why me?
Why?
Why me? You were disappearing.
Why me?
Okay.
And
who was that? So, when something good is happening in our life, like, in Krishna
Maharaj. Yeah, we don't ask that question. Huh? Why me? When something bad happens, it's why me?
No, my question is like, when good is happening, we are thinking Krishna is loving father, so nice, everything is nice. But when why me means like that happens, the sadhana means same situation is not there. While in sadhana also, intellectually I know that no, he's loving father, but I'm not feeling that way.
That's because we're not very advanced. So, you know, we're selfish.
So how that, in that situation also we feel, feelingly, we should feel that in that why me situation also, same way everything should steadily go on.
Well, I gave you the answer already, and you're asking the question again. Because we're not fixed in our taking shelter of Krishna. You know, it goes back to the prison house example. We can be in the first class prison cell, but we're still in prison. And because we're in prison, our freedom is restricted. So it's, you know, why me? Because we're criminals, that's why. That's why we're in the prison house. Because there's this spirit of rebelliousness toward Krishna. And Krishna is helping us to become relieved from that spirit of rebelliousness. So sometimes, circumstances of life come simply due to the fact that we're in this material world. Simply due to the fact that we have this material body. There's disease, there's old age, there's death. And then we go, you know, why me? Because the very fact that we've received a material body is a statement. This is a flag that says, rebellious toward Krishna. That's why. And so something is coming our way because of that rebelliousness towards Krishna. And in that rebellious spirit, some misdeeds and reactions for those misdeeds. Even for pious people, there's misdeeds. Unintentional, perhaps, but misdeeds nonetheless. So things may come our way that We'd rather they didn't. But there's the answer to the why me question. We're receiving the reactions of our past deeds, pious and impious. So Krishna's advice is don't aspire for that position that's where there's less bad and more good. Abrahma Bhuvanal Lokap Purnar Avartanor Jana. Don't aspire for that higher position in the material realm or avoid the lower one. Rather, aspire for that position where there's no more birth and death. Aspire for the position of being in Krishna's abode, in Krishna's shelter. That's what Krishna is advocating. Thank you. No? Okay. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. He? Jai. Yeah.